Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Patriots Training Camp Recap Podcast for day 17 of Patriots Training Camp. I am Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are joined today by Jim McBride. He covers the Patriots for the Boston Globe. He's been out of practice all summer with us, and Jim will jump right in. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Day two without Cam Newton. And, you know, it felt like yesterday without Cam, everybody externally was kind of thinking that that was the chance for Mac Jones to really jump forward and grab the job. And I don't know that he quite had that day yesterday. Today maybe wasn't that either, but it sure felt a lot closer to that kind of moment.
I would agree with that. I thought, you know, there was kind of a lack of energy at practice on Monday. And, you know, that's probably due in part to Cam not being there, because he is such the, you know, he's the energetic guy. He's out there dancing during warm-ups, during stretching. And I think there was a little, maybe a little shock factor for Mac, knowing that he was, you know, he was the guy yesterday because Cam wasn't there. And, you know, he's kind of been following his lead all practice, all summer, really. So I think, yeah. You know, one of the things that I think has been amazing about Mac is his ability to rebound from a bad throw, from a bad series, from a bad practice, and turn it around and turn in a good effort the next time around. So I think he did that today as opposed to yesterday. You know, he was pretty solid in a lot of situational football today. You know, goal line, red zone, 2-minute offense. I thought he stood out, and I thought he probably felt a little more comfortable today being the number one guy.
Do you think, and we get into joint practices here, and Bill's talked about the value of the joint practices. And this is, you know, if you're going to wait the practices Wednesday and Thursday too, but Wednesday when Cam isn't there is a heavily weighted practice. Taking that into account, how open is the door right now for Mac Jones?
Yeah, I think it's open a little bit. I still think, you know, I'm not sure there's enough time there where he can knock Cam off his perch. As the starter, as the number one guy on the depth chart. I think that, you know, if this was an injury situation and they said Cam was going to miss the first couple of days of this week, you know, I don't think anyone would be saying, well, it's Mac's job now because Cam's hurt and he won't be back till Thursday. So I think they're kind of treating it like that, like it's a minor injury and that they expect him to be back on Thursday. You know, I think Sunday's game will be telling. If they decide Mac gets the start because he's had that many more reps this week over Cam, then I think it's a huge discussion in Boston on Monday morning about who's the starting quarterback. But right now, I think, you know, Mac's got a big opportunity with those joint practices tomorrow. He's going to be the number one guy. He's going to get a lot of reps. You know, Thursday is going to come and they're going to be back to splitting him again. So it'll be very interesting. But, you know, I think Mac's done a pretty good job of not letting the weight of the world weigh him down at all this. So I don't think tomorrow he's going to walk in there and say, oh no, I'm the number one guy. The Giants are here. There's a lot of eyeballs on me. I think he'll take it in stride and he'll work hard and he'll do the best he can. But I think he knows that, you know, it's still Cam's job right now.
All right. And he alluded to that when he spoke on the radio the other day, talked about, you know, is he ready to start? That's a future problem. Let's talk about the guys that these quarterbacks are throwing to, whoever it may be. And the fourth receiver spot, it's kind of been a seesaw, a roller coaster all of camp. It was unknown. Then it was, you know, Christian Wilkerson for like 2 days and he's faded. Nikhil came on really strong. Now he's hurt and Wilkerson hasn't stepped back up. Gunner, I thought, had a strong day yesterday. I thought he kind of came back to earth today. Do you think that there's still somebody on the team who can, at least for week one, Nikhil, we'll see what happens with his injury. Do you think there's somebody on the team who can make a push for that fourth wide receiver spot? Do you think they look externally? Or do you think Nikhil's injury, just they consider, all right, he's going to miss such little time that we can stick with the three main guys we have and we get Nikhil back when we get him back?
Yeah, the Nikhil thing's interesting because I just don't know how hurt he is. Right. You know, whether it's a week-long thing or a two-week thing. When it first happened, it looked an awful lot like a collarbone, like it might be a broken collarbone, and where that's usually like a 6-week thing. But now they're saying just kind of an AC thing or a sprained shoulder. But he was coming on strong. But, you know, I got to tell you, I really thought I was really on the Christian Wilkerson bandwagon when camp started. I thought he made a lot of, you know, he's got good size, underrated size, 6'1" or so, good hands, pretty good separation with his long arms. But, you know, like you said, he's kind of fallen back to earth. He's dropped some catchable balls. He did that again today in practice. Maybe he can rebound from that and have a strong surge towards the end. I think these two practices are huge for him because, if it comes down to him or Nikhil for that fourth job, and Nikhil's healthy, Nikhil's probably going to get it. I mean, he was a first round draft pick. They're going to give him a lot more leeway than they're going to give an undrafted guy. But, I really like the way Gunnar's played. I often wondered whether his career trajectory was going to be similar to Edelman, where he's a special teams guy strictly the first couple of years until, you know, he gets a bigger body, a little more muscle, and he refines his route running and, you know, the way he's able to burst out of his guts. We've seen a little bit of that at Gunnar, but not consistent. So it's, I think these two practices and then the week following the game is going to be really telling about who can solidify that job, because we really only have a week to go before they have to get down to 53 men.
Right, a week from today, after five cuts today. You mentioned the Nikhil Harry injury, and it's just something that's interesting to me, where Hunter Henry, right, the report was that he was going to miss some time, and it looked like he wasn't going to be back until week one, and then he comes back a week later. Granted, red non-contact jersey, but he's back out there. Jonnu Smith was going to miss some time after his injury. That was the initial report. He's now missed less than a week. Now with Nikhil, the reports sound like he's going to miss into the regular season, but just are you surprised at all the way they've handled injuries so far this training camp? And do you think there's anything in the way they've handled Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry that we can use to project maybe what comes next for Nikhil Harry, what's happening next with Nikhil Harry?
Yeah, it's probably more, very cautious with these guys. And I think the initial reports when they leak out that, you know, guys could be out for a week or 10 days. But in the Patriots' mind, it's only 5 days. I think with Nikhil, it's a little bit different because it was such like a full speed injury that he had. You know, he dove, he landed on that shoulder. I think with Jonnu and with Hunter, they were both, you know, they were in practice injuries where things weren't going at full speed. So, you know, I think that was able to be a factor in them not being overly hurt. Even though I think Hunter tweaked his shoulder and then he kind of aggravated it later on a blocking drill. But Nikhil's was so violent. I think his is probably going to be a little bit longer. Those AC joints can be very tricky, especially for guys, you know, skilled players like the receivers and the throwers. So I think he's probably going to miss a couple weeks. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens with him, because, you know, he's got to spend at least one day on the 53-man roster before they can, pup him or IR him, I should say. So, you know, a lot of decisions to be made in the next couple of weeks, couple of days, really.
Right. And with that, I want to get into this later, but then, you know, that's a good transition. It feels like they have more of those guys this year. And granted, that comes with the new rules, unlimited to return from IR, only 3 weeks instead of six. But, you know, he feels like a guy who could be eligible for that. I feel like the kicker situation, potentially an IR designated to return, is something that could go that way. There's guys on defense who are banged up. How much wiggle room do you think they have? How many guys can they really do that? You know, okay, you're on the roster for a day, you're on IR, we bring somebody back. How many guys they have, they can do that before they're exposing, you know, key players or quality players?
Yeah, only a couple really, because you think traditionally that week and really that 24 to 48 hour period after the initial 53-man roster is set, there's so much movement after that, you know, and it's such a sigh of relief for a lot of guys when they make that initial cut. But, you know, for those guys that were on the bubble before the cut, they're still on that bubble for another 24 to 48 hours, because other guys get cut from other teams that the Patriots coveted, or guys that the Patriots cut that other teams coveted. There's so much movement in those 2 days. It's such a whirlwind. So I can't imagine what the emotions are for those guys during that time, but I don't think you can sneak a lot of guys past a lot of teams in this day and age, because there's so many teams that have needs at other positions. You know, you look at the running back spot with the Patriots, like,
right,
what are they going to do there? I mean, they've got so many guys that can definitely make an impact. Something's going to have to shake out.
Yeah. And you mentioned the running backs. I think JJ Taylor had a quote yesterday that's a great example of what you're saying. Somebody asked him what his proudest moment of camp has been so far, and he said that it was just that day still being on the team. And he's a guy that, I don't know that he's a lock, but he's not a rookie anymore. He's in his second year. He was here last year. He is coming off a monster preseason game. So for him to say that, it really tells you the mindset that some of these guys are in. And that running back position, like you said, so competitive. So let me ask you about Ramondre Stevenson. And outside of that one fumble, he's been great, but you know the coaching staff is going to have that fumble circled and have that playing on a loop in the film room. now we see him and going back to Philly, and today would have been the third or fourth practice where now he's returning kicks a little bit. And it seems like he's trying to carve out a role for himself. What do you think that role projects to be? And do you think he's somebody who can maybe shake that traditional red shirt that they give to the rookie running backs, right? Where outside of the first round picks, rookie running backs generally have not seen the field under Bill Belichick in New England.
Yeah, I think he has a chance to shake that, especially depends a lot on what happens with Sony Michel. You know, there's a guy that whose option wasn't picked up, so he's in his last year. He seems to me like to be the biggest candidate for a trade because and despite the fact that Bill loves depth at running back, because, you know, he talks about that often, how those guys take right. a beating more than anyone else. So it is great to have that kind of depth on your roster. And you know, Damian's been banked up a lot in his short career already. So that would be another factor. But I think, you know, Sony Michel is a guy that flashed a lot his rookie year, hasn't really gotten back to that late season rookie surge. So, but he's on a cheap contract. I mean, even though he's a first rounder because they didn't pick up his option. So I think he would be attractive to a team that needs a running back. You know, I'm thinking of the Rams, who have lost a couple running backs this summer already. So depending on what happens with Sony, I think that affects Ramondre a lot, because if they end up keeping Sony, Ramondre might just be buried on that depth chart, even though he's probably, you know, a guy that could, you know, handle the load, especially this year in camp lately. He's been catching the ball, which he didn't do a lot of in college, but he's had a couple of drops in camp, but they're showing faith in him by they keep giving him the ball over and over again. So, you know, I think that they're probably going to look for a trade partner for Sony Michel. That would be my guess, just because they have such riches at that position, and they're going to need to fill other positions that they're kind of weak in, like a fifth receiver, maybe even a fourth receiver. So, you know, that's going to be another thing where that day after the 53-man roster comes out, teams are going to be looking to make deals.
One other guy at the running back position that's kind of had a curious summer is Brandon Bolden, where I thought he got out to a great start, and then we haven't seen him here, and I think it's been 2 weeks. And because he's not just a veteran, but an entrenched member of the organization, we know what they think of him. It feels like it could be, you know, he's not playing because they know what he is and they know his spot's safe, or, you know, it's slipping away. Do you think he factors into that as well, or is he kind of in his own category with special teams or whatever it is?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just as you mentioned, you know, he was a full participant in those two practices in Philly last week, but then he didn't play in the game. He didn't even dress in the game, and he was in Philly, so that was kind of strange because he didn't play in the LA game. I mean, I'm sorry, the Washington game either. He's such a valued member of that organization. Special teams wise, personality wise, he's such a leader. I think he's safe, but I don't know that he enters into the picture as much on the running back depth chart as he once did. Even though he knows that offense like the back of his hand, he could play any receiver position and nowhere to go. And he can run any formation out of the backfield. He's a little older than he used to be, so he's not as quick. So I think this guy's ahead of him strictly as a running back. A guy, but I think he's one of those guys like Slater, like Justin Bethel, like Brandon King, who bring so much value to the table, special teams and otherwise, that I think he's safe.
I do want to get into a little defense here before we wrap it up, and we're already pushing it a little bit, but boundary corner has been a big spot for me that I focused on. I think even with Gilmore back, if and when he comes back, you'd look at a guy like Jason McCourty, who played 65% of the snaps last year. And there's, you know, they didn't bring in an obvious replacement for him. They're trying to do that in-house. We saw Jalen Mills play on the boundary to start camp. We saw Juwan Williams kind of pick up some momentum there a little bit in the last few weeks. Justin Bethel's been out there. We saw John Jones out there today, which is the first time I remember seeing him out there a significant amount. Maybe it was in Philly. I wasn't there. But do you, it seems like they're still searching. Do you think that that's a spot where they believe they're going to have to look externally to find a fit? Or do you think that whether it's Juwan Williams or whoever, somebody in the building can win that spot between now and that final cutdown day?
Yeah, I think they were hoping a guy like, you know, D'Angelo Ross or D Virgin or Michael Jackson or one of those guys was going to step up and be, you know, a good depth guy. I think they were hoping Juwan Williams could step into the Jason McCourty role and handle that. Now they've all played okay at times during camp. I think Juwan Williams probably had his strongest day today as a corner. It is interesting to me that Jonathan was playing boundary corner, perimeter corner today, because he, you know, he got banged up in Philly and he missed the second practice in the game. And he's traditionally been a slot guy. Jalen Mills is a guy I think they visioned as one of the guys to help replace Patrick Chung, kind of a jack in the, you know, a jack of all trades near the box safety, a guy who could go into coverage. So I don't think they saw him when they signed him as a corner, but it all comes down to Stephon. What happens with Stephon over the next, you know, week to 10 days? Do they slide him a little extra money and, you know, make him happy? I think it's interesting we haven't seen him on the rehab field in about a week, because they're at the beginning of practice, at the beginning of camp, I should say, he was out there every single day. But he's not there now. So it's interesting. I asked JC Jackson about him today and he said, well, he's still in our meeting rooms and we ask him all the time and he's still a big help. So my gut feeling is that you know, sooner rather than later, they're going to figure out what to do with Stephon Gilmore. And that's going to, I don't think he's going to be a guy that needs a whole lot of time to get back up to speed, because he just knows that system and he's such a good technique guy.
Yeah. So what do you think the point of no return is for Gilmore in terms of week one? Like, can he come back on Wednesday and then play on Sunday? Is it a full week? When do you think that decision for week one ultimately, like, they need to know if he's not active by this point, that's it. He's not, you know, he's not playing.
I would look to that first practice after the Giants game, whether that's Tuesday or Wednesday, probably Wednesday, because the rosters are going to get cut down on Tuesday. I think if he's not in place by Wednesday, then it's a little bit of a panic situation, because I'm not sure they want to go into a 17 game regular season with this new revamped defense that they spent all this money on without their best defensive player. I think that would be counterproductive to what they, you know, what their mission was this off season. So I point to 8 days from now as kind of the day of reckoning.
And finally, before we wrap it up here, the Giants are coming in, joint practices Wednesday, Thursday, open to the public, starting at 10 a.m. What are you looking for? Just, you know, it can be big picture. What are you looking for from these joint practices that we don't get to see when it's just the Patriots versus the Patriots?
Yeah, a little bit more scheme maybe than we've seen. I think a lot of situational football, which we began to see last week in Philly during those practices, and a little bit more today with the goal line, with the red area, with the 2-minute offense. I think that's what you'll see. But I think a lot of it is kind of that your straight traditional practice, just with extra guys on day one, you know, lots of one-on-ones, corners versus or defensive backs versus receivers and backs, the trench guys going at it like crazy. And then less of that on day two and more concentrating on situational, which is kind of the way Bill and Nick Sirianni handled it in Philadelphia last week. Kind of went really heavy on day one. You know, for lack of a better term, they really beat the crap out of each other that first day. And then on day two, practice was only about an hour and 20 minutes long, but they did really exclusively red zone business on that second day of the Philly practice. And I think that's kind of the way it'll work out this week. It'll be a lot of that one-on-one stuff on day one, a lot of that team/situational stuff on day two. And, you know, maybe a lot of special teams too, because Joe Judge was such a big special teams guy. And of course we all know Bill started his career as a special teams coach. So
right.
There'll be a lot of emphasis on that as well.
He is Jim McBride. For more of his coverage of Patriots training camp, give him a follow on Twitter @GlobeJimMcBride. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet, Alex.